This episode is sponsored by Apollo, a tool that's helping me to open doors and close deals faster. Wanted to share it with you. Apollo is a complete end-to-end sales platform, letting you email, dial, connect on social, build plays, and schedule meetings. With conversational intelligence transcribing my calls lately and reminding me to act on my next steps to drive deals across the finish line, it's been a lifesaver. It's no wonder Apollo is the most loved sales tool on the planet. Thousands of users rank Apollo as a top tool on G2. Start today completely free and see how Jesse and I use Apollo. Sign up in the show notes below or at thesalesplayers.com/Apollo. That's thesalesplayers.com/APOLLO to start your free trial. What's up, sales players? Chase here. In this episode, we're going to talk to a former colleague of mine, Antonio Gomez, who is an account executive at WhatConverts in Austin, Texas. In this episode, we're going to discuss with Antonio how he went from SDR to AE within 5 months. He's going to give us his playbooks, also really give us the honest truth of what it takes to be a top performer and how to not burn out while doing sales, and also give us the story on how he booked 36 meetings with ICPs cold in 1 month. Without further ado, here's the show.
Hey, welcome to Sales Players.
Thank you. This is an amazing opportunity. I appreciate you guys.
So actually, before we jump into your background, let me just preface this episode by saying we are talking today with Tony, who went from being an SDR to an AE in 5 months. But I also want to call out that you and Chase know each other because you work together. And maybe
I'm the crying AE that he was my SDR and he had to leave me so quickly. You know, it was so sad.
So this episode should be titled "How Tony Helped Chase Get Promoted in 5 months."
Yeah, exactly. I'll take all credit for it.
How Tony helped Chase hit his quota in 5 months.
Oh gosh.
Maybe tell us about how you got started, what your background is. We want to hear the story there first, and then we'll transition to some of the things you did to get quickly promoted.
Yeah, I'd say like just quickly, initially I was pursuing a doctor in physical therapy. This was back in like maybe 2021. Everything was lined up, everything was good, but I had to trust my gut feeling. It was towards the pandemic. I was burnt out, working too long in a horrible cycle. And the only path forward to success was going to the program. And something didn't feel right. At that time, I was looking for other things. I had moved to Austin, Texas, where I just needed a fresh start. In a weird way, I thought just completely leaving my past or where I was in the situation, that was the best path forward. Once I was in Austin, I worked at another place called Stretch Lab, did assisted stretching. Also, burnt out, limited financially. I can only stretch so many people in one time.
If you do any prospecting with LinkedIn, you have got to go get set up with Surf. That's Surfe. It's a tool you can use to add new contacts to your CRM system directly from LinkedIn in seconds. I'm using it every single day. I add contacts, follow my deals, keep track of notes, and it ends up saving me a bunch of time on prospecting and outreach, which means I can spend more time moving my deals along. The data is always 100% accurate since I don't have to copy and paste all the fields over from each and every contact that I want to put in my CRM. Instead, Surf does that all automatically with just one click in about 60 seconds. The team over at Surf has put together a very special offer for fans of Sales Players. There's a link down in the show notes and you can use the promo code JWSURF5. Don't forget the E at the end of Surf. That's JWSURF5 for 5% off your first year. Don't spend another minute doing things manually. Go get set up with Surf.
I met an amazing person there. He was a sales director at WhatConverts, is the company I'm with now. And he said, "Hey, what are you doing? Why are you still here?" And I said, "Hey, what do you mean?" And he said, "You would be really good in sales. Why don't you just give it a shot?" And that's how I met Chase. I became his SDR.
That's so. So who was it that you met in Austin that introduced you to the opportunity to go to What Converts?
Yeah, I'm going to totally name drop. His name is Miles Mickelson. He was my patient for a client for over a year. And I knew what he did. The guy was obviously happy, was super passionate about sales, made me passionate about sales. I got into it. And essentially, he's like, you're the one that's booked the most here. Why aren't you in sales already? Like, you're driven. People like you. I can barely book a time with you.
Yeah.
Why don't you give this a shot? Yeah.
So did we just violate HIPAA? Like, now we all know Miles goes to Stretch Lab.
No. This isn't through healthcare. This is all cash based. Yeah. So we're good.
Shout out, Miles. That's an awesome story and way to be looking out for talent anywhere you can find it, even if it's at the physical therapy office. That's really cool.
Poaching. Yeah. He's a poacher.
Yeah. And I would say that I think that's something I want to highlight is just the people I was surrounded with were amazing. I think I always tell my fiance, I felt like I was at the right place at the right time in front of the right people. I just got super lucky with the people I was interacting with. And I'm super grateful for him just believing in me and at least giving me an opportunity to try. And with that, I want to follow up with like Chase as well. Became his SDR. He did my first interview, was feeling the room. He's like, I don't know about this Tony guy. Like, let's just give him a shot. Super excited. Went full force. Got fully obsessed with sales. And Chase was an amazing mentor.
That's awesome. Let me ask this. I want to drill into something that you mentioned a minute ago, because this is actually similar to my story. You moved to Austin. I literally also moved to Austin in my 20s to make a name for myself in tech. And it doesn't have to be Austin. It can be, you know, any city where there's an industry or a vertical that you want to break into. How important do you think that role was of just literally moving yourself to a place where there's like-minded people? Do you feel like that was pretty helpful in getting you to where you are now?
Absolutely. I would say my unique situation was I just needed it out. And honestly, I came to Austin with no job, no plan, just a ton of wishful thinking. But it just opened a lot of opportunities that I didn't feel I was able to get back in California, back in Long Beach.
So let's dig into just, first of all, now you are in an account executive role at What Converts still, right? Is that the case?
Correct. Yeah. Fully. Mainly it's outbound, but yes, I do inbound as well.
So we mentioned this at the front end of the episode. You went from being an entry-level SDR. Well, I mean, really, you went from being a physical therapy industry, professional to SDR. And then in 5 months, you're an account executive. In my career experience, that's not very typical. Normally, what we see is you've got to be an SDR for somewhere between 12 to 24 months. I usually say that if you're still an SDR after 24 months, you should probably start to think about what your path is going to be, because if you're still in that seat 24 months plus on, you know, you might need to pivot into something else or move to another company that's going to help you get into something else. I digress, but tell us a little bit about the journey from SDR to AE. You must have done something different that a lot of us who've been in the industry for a while aren't thinking about, because again, it's very rare to see someone go again from industry outsider to account executive selling in the field in about 5 months. So tell us maybe a little bit about some of the first things you did in that role that helped you streamline that journey.
Yeah, and I think it goes back to what I originally mentioned. My out was sales. I was kaput with the physical therapy path. And I quite literally told myself, there's no going back. I absolutely need this to work. And it was crazy. I got obsessed. I listened to SaaS sales players. Chase was an amazing mentor. I would spend so much time researching, listening, reading, just fully engulfed in sales and how to be an SDR. What does it take? What works? What doesn't work? I wish there was some secret sauce. I can give you some secret sauce, but really, I guess it's just I like to be number one. I'm really competitive, so that kind of helped. And to me, failure wasn't an option, I guess. But I was just consuming so much information, and I had amazing resources like Chase and Miles, who were kind of pointing me in the right direction, giving me some advice, and me kind of searching for, you know, what is actually working when it comes to, you know, outbound processes or how to cold call, understanding why that works, not just someone telling me to say this script. So,
yeah. Tell us about that first win. What did that feel like? How did that come to pass?
Oh man, this is a funny story. And if Miles is listening to this, he knows exactly the story. My first cold call, fully onboarded. I know exactly what I'm supposed to do. Jesse, I was choking. I was red. Miles said, "Hey man, I just have one task. You know, I barely knew the product. I need you to make 10 calls just today." I was onboarded on Monday. On Friday, he's like, "All right, man, you went through everything. Go ahead and make 10 phone calls." I literally choked, Jesse. I was like, "I can't." An hour goes by. Miles is like, "Hey, man," he slacks me. He's like, "What's going on?" And essentially, I'm like, "Dude, I'm so nervous. I don't think I can do this. Like, I just, what am I going to say?" He's like, "Dude, just pick up the phone, make that first call."
Yeah.
He literally held my hand, Jesse. He was listening to the call with me. We called together.
He literally yes. held your hand or figured, oh, wow, okay. Yeah,
no. He didn't hold my hand.
We're remote. I don't think we've ever met.
He remotely held your hand.
And then that, but again, that's like an amazing sales leader. He's like, "Look, I know what this guy is going through. I've been there. My guard went down. The second call was easier. The third call was easier." And it was just like a process, right? I was just being molded and seeing what worked and what didn't. That's essentially how I kind of got started.
I can empathize, because my first cold calling role that I did, it was actually right when I moved to Austin. My manager, I've shared this before, I believe, but if not, this is a funny story. He would slip me a Shiner beer underneath the desk because I was so tense making my first rounds of cold calls in my career. I was so nervous. And he was like, "You know what you need? You need a little dose of this Shiner." And so he'd get me a little bottle of Shiner Bock. This was not every day, by the way. This would be like if we were doing a cold call blitz on a Friday. And it kind of took the edge off a little bit, loosened the tongue. And, after a while, I didn't need the social lubrication or the liquid courage.
Yeah.
I was able to start making calls and feel really confident. But in those early days, that's exactly what happened. Shout out to my manager, who was like, "Hey, this guy's really good deep down in there. He can do this, but let's just slip him a little Shiner Bock to help him relax a little bit for these first ones." So, yeah, that's awesome to hear that you had that level of support. And it's kind of rare these days, because I think a lot of inside sales managers don't have a lot of experience cold calling, unfortunately. So they don't know how to coach to it very well. And then in the remote environment we're in, it's really hard to coach to. So pretty cool that he was able to do that remotely.
So, Tony, I want to talk to you about not just your win in cold calling, but when you first had landed that first meeting of that ICP that you were going after, and just because you began to snowball, that you had the snowball effect of, you know, I think it was, we had goals, we would meet, I think it was once, maybe 2-3 times a week, but we were slacking each other all the time. And I'd be like, "How many meetings do you want to get this week?" And you were like, "I want 10. And then the next week it'd be, "I want 12, I want 15, I want 20, I want 30, I want 50. I don't know what was the most meetings you booked for me in 1 month?
Great question. I think, can't remember, but I believe it was like 37.
Holy, wow.
That's and crazy. I think showed. When I first
That's
started.
Booked yeah. and showed, people. Booked this is showed. Not this is not just booked meetings. This is booked and showed. And there's a difference in booking a meeting than getting a meeting to show. Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think quota at the time was 20, and they might've dropped it down to 15, but I'm going to throw them out there, but co-inspector VP of sales from Orem, I love his quote. "I learned really early on, there's only two things you can control, and it's your activity and your attitude." And I just kept doing that. Put your head down, give 100% every call, make it intentional, put an effort to it. Don't sound like every other salesperson.
Yeah.
Sound normal, be confident, and just get those reps in, right? Which is somewhat analogous to what I used to do, but do something long enough. It's not time wasted, so long as you learn what is actually working and what is not working.
So would you say that cold calling was your predominant channel for generating these meetings and pipeline, or were you using other, I'm sure you were using email as well, but would you say cold calling was the primary?
Absolutely. The only reason you can't objection handle an email. If I send you something, you have no obligation to respond. There's no reason. Even me, I get emails all the time now. I can just delete them or not look at them at all. But a cold call is absolutely, at least even statistically, a small chance. You still have a chance and you're able to objection handle and have that slight opportunity, just pique their interest, throw some nuggets of value, and kind of coerce them into saying, hey, you know what, this guy sounds like he can help. Let me see what he's offering.
I'm curious too, as far as the sort of lead source, was this mostly outbound, you're dialing against like a static list, or was this folks that were raising their hand asking to learn more about what converts, or a combination of both, or were these partner leads? Or tell us a little bit about sort of how these people were in your like in your purview, or how they got in front of you.
Chase, I don't think these guys know. I don't think they know.
Let's hear it.
Man, we're getting cold as you can get. Just strangers on the internet. We had two criteria. Do they advertise on Google?
Do they
generate calls and form leads? Go get them. Not even a list. That's why I laughed. It was insane. Yeah.
In my same first sales role I mentioned a few minutes ago, I raise you a, we had a spreadsheet that someone ripped from the Whois network. And if you don't know what the Whois network is, it's basically like a directory of domain owners. Just the absolute most dog shit prospecting list you could absolutely imagine. It's just domains and the email associated with the domain. That could be some sort of web developer, or it could be some person who registered a domain thinking it sounded cool, or it could be someone working in their basement. Like, it didn't matter. That was the list that I had to go off of for cold calling, not for emailing. We had to then go and try to find the person's phone number from an email that was registered to Whois. So very empathetic of the just coldest of cold outbound. And it's funny, we live in a, you know, we're in a culture now where there's so many tools, so many like intent tools and databases that can warm these leads up. So it's fun to hear that, you know, you're really grinding it out over there with very, very cold, static leads. It's not anything that's, you know, a nice warm introduction. It sounds like it was just cross your fingers and make that next call.
I think that helped, really. I look back and I know Chase can relate. Were we hearing of other companies with more resources or automations? Or yes, that's great, but I was able to learn the basics, you know. Yeah. Simple adding prospect. Do they meet the criteria? In our industry that Chase and I were in, or when he was in, it's quite simple. You search for these people on LinkedIn or Google, you go on their site, see the type of industries they're in, see the type of marketing channels that they advertise, find their numbers. I'm not going to name drop what we use, but essentially add them to their CRM and cold call. And that's it. And just do it until you book a meeting. It was, honestly, it was a lot of fun. I hope anyone that's listening to out there, I had so much fun with Chase. You know, were there bad days? Absolutely. Were there days I was completely scared and I was staying late, just adding prospects? Absolutely. But the entire process was so much fun. And that's why every time I connect with Chase, it's just, it's like, man, the stuff we were doing.
We've been in more together, buddy. We've been in more together.
Yeah, and seriously.
You know, and one thing that I really think that I learned from that is we had other SDRs on the team that weren't booking meetings. And we created a system that we followed. We started to test things, and we really started to understand, okay, this person has to have this at least. They have to be using call rail. Or call tracking metric. They have to have that. If they don't, it's not even worth our time. It's a waste. If they're in this industry, it's not worth it. They're not spending any money.
How did you find that? Was that you just used like BuiltWith or something to
We got a little tool called Edit This Cookie. You just put it in your Chrome browser and it just scrapes. Yeah, it's free.
Yeah, it's great.
Edit This Cookie. It's awesome. I use it to this day. Best tool of my life.
Yeah, y'all built basically your own intent engine, but it was one that you use. It probably a lot more manual than some of the ones on the market right now that you could pay thousands of dollars for. But essentially what you were building was like a screen, right? A qualification screen, which is like, hey, we're not going to call into accounts that don't have call rail, you said.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Chase was, again, ahead of the game. He was obviously different from everyone else. I think I resonated with him as well, not having like a sales background, just completely diving into this industry. But Chase was very intentional, and he gave me a lot of nuggets of knowledge. Like, hey, you know, he says this all the time, but riches and niches. Mm-hmm. It's actually easier to potentially sell someone that's already using a competitor because they already know the value of that product or solution. No need to sell them on it. Now it's just showing them like, hey, there's something potentially better out there. Let me show you how we can add more value or save you more time or improve your bottom line.
And they're already spending. They've already got budget allocated for the competitor. So it's just deflecting.
Absolutely.
Budget over.
Shake and bake.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Antonio or Tony, sorry. I see your name here on the screen. Did you ever want to give up? And talk about that. Did you ever want to give up? And did you ever feel like this just was not for you?
I would say initially, I was like, what the heck did I get myself into? But I wasn't necessarily complaining. And the reason why is, again, just the people I was surrounded with. And I knew they were actually looking for my best intentions. I wasn't reactive to criticism. I wasn't reactive or had any bad feelings when someone was calling me out or saying, hey, I think you could have done this, or hey, look into this, maybe this will help. I just said, hey, to be good at sales, and I'm learning this more as an account executive, it's just refining the process. Like, I'm really grateful. Like, everything people are telling me, I never take as criticism. They're quite literally just helping me become a better salesperson and generate more revenue and meet my goals, my own personal goals.
All right. So we wouldn't normally do this in an episode like this, but I want to try something out. Would you high level just kind of give us your cold call pitch? I'm putting you totally on the spot. I did not prepare you for this, but I figure, Tony, if you're doing as many cold calls as you say you're doing, you can give us a quick
Chase's agencies over here.
And by the way, don't feel like you have to act it out, but just give us an idea of like how you break it down for us. Like, tell us, this is usually the line I use. I won't actually do like a ring ring, which I had a boss that used to do the old.
Oh God, don't do that.
I had a boss who he'd walk over to my desk. This is in person in Austin at a startup that I worked for. And he'd walk over and if he was just like ring ring, I had to just suddenly stop what I was doing. And which was actually a really good practice. And I'm not knocking it at all. It was a good exercise. And he'd say ring ring, and then we had to go into like our cold call pitch of that day. So you don't have to do that. Just tell us maybe what openers have worked best for you, what strategies work best for you to get the hook in there. And
I love that. Yes, let's do that. Yeah. I would say I've tested a few, and I remember going into a webinar with Scott Lees. And Scott Lees said, hey, if you're in a room with 100 people, 99% of the salespeople in that room are going to tell you that their opener is the best. Yeah. What matters most is that you don't sound like every single salesperson out there, and that your tonality is on point, you're confident. It's a script that you're comfortable with.
Right.
And also, don't constantly change your script. Maybe stick to one, A/B test for a while, and just stick with it, right? See if it works for a couple of weeks or a month, 2 months, then maybe pivot. I used a few, you know, it's weird. I'm literally fanatical about this stuff. But if I know that this person's like a C-suite, a founder, I get straight to the point. I use, I think his name, and I hope I don't butcher it, but it's Armand Farouk from 30 MPC. I get straight into it. Hey, it's Antonio. You know, we work with other Google Premier partners, calling from WhatConverts. Not sure if you've heard that name tossed around before. Mm-hmm. And they're usually the answer is no, of course they haven't heard it from you. So they're like, no, I haven't. Well, not a problem. Like, the reason I'm calling is I know you're doing XYZ. I was just curious if you'd be completely against maybe taking a look at this. And obviously, I love using that technique. That's more of a Chris Voss technique. But by saying, is it a terrible idea? Are you against? Are you opposed? They feel no obligation to lie to you. They can say, no, I'm not opposed, but, and then they'll tell you what their objection is. Like, oh, I already use a competitor, or I already solved for that. No need for something like this. And then that's where, again, you can objection handle and say, hey, completely understand. That's specifically why I'm calling you. Throws them off the rails. Like, this guy is not giving up, and just being consistent and just objection handling. Another one I like from Jeremy Miner is acting completely confused. People love to help other people. I say, hey, Jesse, I'm actually on your site. I'm not sure if you can actually help me. But I'm on your site, I'm reading this case study. Are you familiar with that one? And then they will start to help you. And I literally don't sound like a salesperson. Sometimes I don't even say what company I'm calling from, because it doesn't matter. That. You know what I mean? So I like to not sound like anyone else. It's hard to give you examples, but I hope that just sheds some light into kind of what I do.
Getting personal and really understanding who you're talking to, there's a lot in there of you're going after the C-suite. You're going after founder of these agencies. They are, you know, they're pissed off. They are spending a lot of money. They want to streamline. So they're trying to cut as many corners as they can, and you're here to help them.
Absolutely.
Or you're on their site and you're showing them what's going on.
I like to use the technique where, and again, this might be more relevant to what Chase and I are doing. I like to play dumb, go on their site, ask three questions that I already know the answers to, but essentially it's me qualifying them.
Yeah.
Hey, do you guys do Google Ads? Yeah, absolutely. We do Google Ads. And do your leads or like what type of leads do your clients get? Oh, they get like calls, forms, chat leads. Okay. And are you using like Google Analytics? Like, how do you actually go about like tracking this stuff? Bam. I just qualify them without them knowing. And I just hit them with like, hey, look, I don't want to eat too much of your time. Just based on what you're saying, like, I think it might be worth maybe taking a look at something like this. I'm calling from WhatConverts, and then et cetera, et cetera.
How many calls do you make a day, do you think? Kind of a day.
Well, now as an accounting executive, I don't have SDR. So I'm a full SDR. They've given me the crown jewel job, just full SDR, booking my own meetings, doing the demos, doing the pricing presentations, and following up. So it's the full thing.
And I'm sure they combined your SDR income with your AE one.
Yeah, I hope so.
They never do.
You know what I said? I actually told my sales director, because, well, I'm not going to say this, but I said, you know what, turn it off. I just rather not get any of these. Like, I just want to go after the ones I want to go after. I'm learning so much stuff as an AE now. Like, it's like refueling the love that I had as an SDR. I'm just learning other things. And one of them is huge, is just time management, being organized, and being super meticulous with who you give your time with. So now I call people and say, hey, you know what? I don't think this is going to be a good fit. Like, I just don't want to waste your time. And I just hang up, move on. I just rather find people that are worth my time and that will actually help me to hit quota.
That's huge. I actually just talked to someone about that who is, you know, one of the top sellers in tech, honestly. And that's what he does. That's his, I would say, playbook. Is he quickly qualifies with discovery. And if he realizes even within 5 or 10 minutes that this isn't a fit, he realizes his time is so scarce and you have to control the inputs that are going to give you the outputs you want. So you don't want to spend a bunch of cycles on a prospect that's never going to buy from you, or they're not going to buy now, or they're not qualified, or there's some other thing. So that's cool to hear that. Even how many months are you into your AE role? A couple months in?
I believe it's 7 months now.
You're 7 months into an AE role. Yeah. You're already thinking about how to move out stuff that's not going to close in the short run, or even in the kind of near short run, like stuff that's not going to close this year or early next year. You're probably moving out already based on that qualification. So it sounds like you have a really good process for that.
Yeah. Now I'd say like some secret sauce, little nugget of knowledge is once I've qualified the person on the phone, I piqued their interest and they're open to meeting, I say small things. Again, I wish you guys can hear the recordings, but essentially you just act nonchalant and be like, hey man, it'll take like 20 minutes. It's a Zoom meeting. Within the first 10 minutes, you'll know if it's even worth a second conversation. Right as I have the Calendly link pulled up, all I have to do is enter their contact name and email. We agree on a time. I pause and I say, hey, Jesse, look, I don't want to waste anyone's time. I'm busy. You're busy. And I ask two more like qualification questions. They'll actually give me complete insight if this is worth my time. Once I know that information, then I book the meeting. But if they tell me, as I have the calendar link pulled up, hey, I don't know, this is going to be a good fit, sorry for wasting your time, and I just hang up.
Wow.
And they appreciate that. It's just being honest. Like, can we help other people? Absolutely. But they're not the ideal person. They're not going to get the most out of this product. They're going to be clawbacks. They're going to be a headache for onboarding. Can we sell to them? Absolutely. But not all money is good money. And it's just easier for everyone, everyone from sales, support, to marketing. You're understanding who the ICP is. If you put it in front of the right people, it's going to be a no-brainer.
Let me ask this, Tony. Undoubtedly somebody out there who's listening to this episode right now, and maybe they just started as an SDR, maybe they're 6 or 12 months into their SDR role, they're going to say something like, there's some haters out there. They're going to say something like, that Tony guy's dad probably worked for the company and that's why he got promoted in 6 months. Or, you know, he had some kind of a leg up. There's something there that they're not telling the whole story. What would you say to that detractor out there who believes like, no, you don't go from SDR to AE in 5 months. That's impossible. He probably had his uncle worked there or something, or his family was donating money. They're investors in the company, right? What would you say? I guess maybe the question is better phrased is like, what would you say to someone, even if they are a detractor, on how they can move as quickly as you have from that SDR spot into the AE spot? What are three pieces of advice that you'd give them for 2024 for them to kind of kick their career into high gear?
Yeah, three things. Well, there's a funny quote out there. I wish I can credit someone, but there's three certainties in life: paying taxes, death, and people getting rid of bad salespeople. And I remember hearing that, and Chase knows there's some churn. You know, you hire 6, let go of 3. And to me, as like, again, I was put an amazing opportunity. I had a chance and I gave it my absolute all. And what I say is just remember why you're doing it. Be passionate. Look for help. I was intrinsically motivated. I can't stress this enough. There was no out for me. I absolutely had to dive into this. And I wouldn't stop until I could figure it out. So that means just like calling, learning how to prospect. I would stay up super late. No one is seeing this. And this isn't to say a sob story, but to get here is not pretty. And I'm not saying the path was easy. There was a lot of long nights, a lot of doubt, a lot of failure, but just don't give up. Just keep treading, man. It's like that floating duck analogy. You know, on the surface, I would join the Zoom calls with the sales team as an SDR, exhausted because I stayed up till midnight. Cool, calm, collected above the surface. below the water, I was treading water. I was just trying to stay afloat, try to keep my job. I was just still going.
Yeah. Tony, I love that. And I feel honored to know you. And I remember one of the first meetings that we had together. I think it might have been even in the interview. I told you, I think you asked me a question is like, what would make me a great SDR? And I said, you got to book so many meetings that Miles is going to have to tell me that I can't take them all and you're going to have to take them. And you went into it with that attitude of, I'm just going to book Chase's calendar to where he can't take all these meetings and I'm going to have to fucking take a meeting. And that's just amazing. So I would, in closing, can you just give us some tactical advice for somebody that is first getting into being an SDR and then also first being in an AE role as well and being successful in an AE role, because not all AEs are successful.
Absolutely. Yeah. Again, I think this is more of like my story, just my situation, knowing what my goals were. It's just keep going, always get better. Every single day I'm learning. I am obsessed. I'm constantly learning something new. I stay up late. I listen to podcasts. My first podcast was like SaaS Sales Players 30 MPC. I'll connect with Chase. I'd find leaders online and follow them. There's so many resources out there. There are no excuses to quit. Just keep going. You know, I can drop a few like YouTube channels and stuff. At the end of the day is like, there is so much free information out there. You can consume all this. No need to don a dime. It's absolutely free. I'm happy to be a resource. Chase is obviously happy to be a resource. Jesse, this podcast is amazing. I think if you're intrinsically motivated, you want to change your situation, just go out there, take the risks, reach out to people on LinkedIn, look for those resources online, and just do the work that some people are just unwilling to do or take an easy way out.
Love that. And Tony, how can people reach out to you? How can they connect with you, learn your secret ways of the Jedi SDR move to AE master?
Yeah, I'd love to absolutely connect on LinkedIn. You can find me, I believe it's Antonio Gomez. I took a little professional route. Unless I owe you money, keep calling me Tony, or if you know me in Austin, call me Tony. but yeah, man, I honestly love to connect. If you want any resources that help me, I'll gladly give them. Again, most of these are free, no cost to you. Webinars, YouTube, Instagram pages, find what works, find what doesn't. Not every resource I may send you will be a good fit for your industry, but there's something to take out of and you can kind of refine your strategies.
Tony, what's the best taco in Austin?
Oh man.
This guy eats a lot too. His Instagram's blowing up with food, man.
What? So we'll paste the link to your Instagram in the show notes alongside your LinkedIn.
Yeah, absolutely. My Instagram's it's Antonio Gomez or Tony Gomez. No, it's Tony Gomez. Man, best taco in Austin. You're killing me with this one. Well,
go-to? It doesn't have to be the best because that's an objective or subjective answer.
Well, you're killing me on this question. There's so much good food. This isn't sponsored, but I was born in Mexico in the state of Michoacán, and we're known for carnitas, which is a pork confit. So yeah. tacos el güero. You know, that thing will probably give you a heart attack, but it's the most delicious thing. It's the greasiest, slimiest pork fried deliciousness you'll have in Austin, Texas.
Is that a food truck or is that a standalone place in Austin?
So I believe, so the Sun, I believe, has a place here in Austin. I'm not sure if it's a food truck. My folks and my cousin ordered some from there and I haven't found a better taco. They were in San Antonio. That's where they started. The son of the owner created one in Austin. You just have to have it. It's so good.
Tacos El Güero.
Tacos El Güero. There you go. Look at you.
Yeah. Another episode, another day. I lived in Mexico for a long time, so hablo español.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then carnitas are like the best. So yeah, plug for El Güero in Texas, Central Texas. Go get yourself some carnitas. Tony, this was a fantastic conversation. I think I speak for Chase and I both. Obviously appreciate your contribution to the sales community, to the sales players community. Keep doing what you're doing. And yeah, thanks for coming on.
Awesome. Thank you both. This is amazing. Appreciate y'all.